This Swisha of Vayigash has an entire episode, or introduces an entire episode, which is extremely problematic. There are a number of acute questions which must be, or beg to be asked, really that begin from last week's Parsha, Parshat Miketz at the end, and spill over to the beginning of this week's Parsha. The main question that we have to deal with, and the issue, is how exactly does Yehuda, who serves as the representative of his brothers, what exactly is the appeal that he makes to Yosef in an attempt to save his brothers from slavery, and certainly in an attempt to save the life of his youngest brother Binyamin? And if you look at the end of Parshat Miketz, and at the beginning of Parshat Vayigash, in actuality, Yehuda repeats the case of Binyamin. But when you look at the text closely, there are a number of differences in this, what would appear to be repetition, that demonstrate that clearly they are not the same appeals. And the final straw that really breaks, or the breaking point for Yehuda, is after Yosef plants this gold flask in the sack of Binyamin, Yehuda all of a sudden decides to wage or to express his wrath against Yosef. And at the end of Parshat Miketz, Perek Mem Dalet Pasuk Tet Zayin, Yehuda fervently reproaches Yosef and says, Vayomer Yehuda, Manomar la Adoni, manedaber manitztadak. Ha'elohim matza et avon avdecha, hinenu avadim la Adoni, gam anachnu gam asher nimza gavia biado. Which literally means that Yehuda recognizes that he and his brothers and Binyamin are willing to take responsibility for what transpired and what would appear to be their thievery, or the thievery of Binyamin. And he offers to Yosef for himself and his brothers and Binyamin to be slaves in Egypt. Why? It is now an issue that has to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire challenge that has been sent to Yehuda and his brothers, Yehuda declares, we are fully aware, it has nothing to do with you, Yosef, it has nothing to do with Mitzrayim, it has everything to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is God sent, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to suffer as follows. But the question is, why does Yehuda propose slavery for both himself, his brothers, and for Binyamin? We know that logically, the only brother who was guilty of stealing, so to speak, or at least was set up as appearing to have done so, was Binyamin. So why should Yehuda offer wholeheartedly all of the brothers to become slaves? It doesn't make sense. Certainly within what we would describe as a just system, it makes no sense. And indeed, Yosef says back to Yehuda logically, Vayomer chalila li me'asot zot, ha'ish asher nimtza gavia biado, hu yiyeh li eved. Yosef says, God forbid, I'm not looking for unwarranted retribution. I'm looking to punish the responsible party. The responsible party is Binyamin, and he himself should become the one who should be a slave in Egypt. And he says, Ve'atem, as far as you go, brothers, alu l'shalom el avichem. Be gone with you. Return in peace to your father. Have a nice life. I'm interested in punishing the guilty party, namely Binyamin. And why does Yehuda insist on what would appear to be an infraction of what's logical within the judgment or legal system? Then indeed, in Parshat Vayigash, Yehuda comes back to Yosef, and he pleads his case again. Vanomer el Adoni, yesh lanu av zaken veyeled zikunim katan, veachiv met. Says Yehuda, he goes through an entire, what would be described, the Havdil, as a soap opera. We have an old father waiting for us at home. He lost his youngest son, his son who he loved so dearly. Now this is his youngest son. He's going to lose him as well. He's on his lonesome. He's in his last breath. How can we cause this pain to our father? And Yehuda continues. In Pasuk Lamed, he appeals again. If we, God forbid, dare to approach our father without our brother Binyamin, the youngest, our father's nefesh, our father's soul is intertwined with Binyamin's. He'll lose his life. He won't be able to bear the burden of losing his youngest son, or at least appearing not to have seen him. And in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, he repeats again, Eich e'elel avi ve'anar enenu iti. How can we possibly confront our father without his beloved son Binyamin? We can't possibly do this to our father once again. And what's interesting here is, Rabbi Yisai, is that at the beginning of Parshat Vayigash, Yehuda all but ignores the entire problem of the crime. The crime was that Binyamin allegedly stole this gold cup, this gold goblet. That was the culprit of the entire crime. He was the culprit. He stole the gold goblet. Why does Yehuda all of a sudden ignore the entire crime scene? And he only demonstrates this sympathy that Yosef should have for him and his father and the brothers, and his old father won't be able to bear this burden. What does that interest Yosef at all? That has nothing to do with the crime at hand. Why should Yosef care less for a family of which he knows not? Why should that concern him? And indeed, at this juncture, there is a breakdown by Yosef. In Perek Mem Hei, Psukim Aleph through Gimel, the Torah tells us, Lo yachol Yosef li'tapek lechol ha'nitzavim alav. Yosef could no longer control himself. And let us remember, Rabbi Yisai, that many of the Mitzrim, the Egyptians, were standing and witnessing this entire scene transpiring in front of them. Vayikra, Yosef says, Hotziu kol ish me'alai. Take every man away from here, meaning the Egyptians. V'lo amad ish ito b'itvada Yosef elechav. And indeed, the Torah confirms there was no man standing there at the time that Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. V'iten et kolo b'bchi. The first thing that Yosef does is he cries. V'yomer Yosef elechav ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai. After he cries, Yosef says, I am Joseph, I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? And let's look closely at these psukim, because they too make no sense at first glance. Yosef says to the Egyptians standing around, Hotziu kol ish mi'alai. Let every man leave this room. V'lo amad ishito. Why does the Torah need to confirm that indeed, at this time, when Yosef was admitting to his brothers, there was no longer any ish, any man, namely the Egyptian, standing in the room? Why does the Torah need to detail that specific that happened within this story, which really would seem to be rather irrelevant to Yosef's admission, or to Yosef's revealing his identity to his brothers? And indeed, the Torah continues, Vayiten et kolo bibchi. Yosef cries, and then Yosef tells his brother that he is Yosef. Where is, or how is, my father? Why does the Torah tell us that first Yosef has this wail that the entire household of Paro and the Egyptian Empire hear this breakdown of emotion? Why was this so important for the Torah to tell us that Yosef cries first? The explanation to all of these questions, I believe, is as follows. Yehuda, at the end of Parshat Miketz, declares that indeed everything that transpires here is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. everything that's happening now, Yehuda says to his brothers, falls under what we would call a Jewish mandate. In Judaism, we believe that people can rectify the deed. People can be better. People can solve their problems by becoming greater examples of righteousness, by repenting, and by seeking penitence in front of Hashem. And therefore, while the person might be wrong, it is the deed that is done that we are looking to punish. The person, hopefully, as a result of seeing the deed being punished, will seek tshuva, will seek redemption. As a result of retribution to the deed, the person is redeemed. And therefore, Yehuda says as follows, we recognize that you want to punish the person, Binyamin, but we understand that we are seeking retribution towards the deed, not the person. Binyamin is not responsible for what happened here. Yehuda says, if Binyamin stays, not only will he stay, but all of us are responsible, because now it is between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to learn a lesson. We promised our father that we would look after our youngest brother. We promised him that he would nurture him with love, and that we would give him guidance and direction. And if our brother Binyamin has to stay in Mitzrayim, this is not a punishment against Binyamin, it is a punishment against the deed of ours, our deed. We sold Yosef, we were not responsible, we were not compassionate. We took Binyamin, we will not take responsibility once again for being called uncompassionate. We will demonstrate that we can show love to our brother. Call Yisrael Arivim Ze Bazeh. And therefore, says Yehuda, if Binyamin stays, all of us stay. Because in Judaism, it is not the person who is punished, but the deed that must be enacted upon in order to facilitate greater tshuva. Yehuda recognizes this. And therefore Yehuda says at the end of Parshat Miketz, Ha'elokim matza et avon avadecha. It is now between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef, at this point, who is playing the role of a Mitzri, of the Egyptian leader, and the head of the Egyptian empire, sees only din, only judgment. Yosef sees things through the eyes of the foreign nations at this point. He says, no, when it comes to punishment, it is the person who must be punished. And therefore he says, it is Binyamin who must pay for the deed, regardless of what all of you have learned or can learn from this entire experience. That doesn't interest me. We see things according to the legal administration of the Egyptian Empire, according to the judiciary system. The person must be punished. And therefore he insists, all of you brothers leave. Chalilali me'asos lachem kol ra. No, justice doesn't demand that I punish all of you. Rather, asher nimtza gavia biado, hu yeli eved. Only one of you. Binyamin was the one found with the goblet. He's the one who has to pay. Yosef is concerned with the crime and not with the person. He is not interested in seeing a person or a people grow or become closer or seek tshuva, but rather he is interested in seeking the punishment and making it work for the crime that fits. This is the difference between a Jew and a Goy. The difference between a Jew and those of the foreign nations. The Jew is concerned with the person. The person should learn from his crime so that he becomes a greater person, and therefore we punish the deed. But the person himself always has a chance for tshuva, for penitence. The Goy does not see things this way. He is concerned with the crime and not with the person. And that is really what all the correctional facilities are about. It has been proven statistically that there is very little impact on the inmates themselves in terms of changing their behavior, of their mode of thought. It's a very difficult task to accomplish because the idea is that we attempt to punish the crime, not to better the person or to improve that person. It's the difference between the way the Jews or the Jewish nation and the Goyim or the foreign nations sees things in this world. The Jew understands that no matter what mistakes or how many mistakes or how grave they may be, the Jew always has a chance, an opportunity to take that and to see it as a yirida letzorech aliyah, a downfall for the sake of uplifting himself once again and growing closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It amazed me when I was in the United States, so when I spent a year there on a sabbatical, I would go to the local Walmart, and every time there were these two elderly people who were positioned in the doorway as you entered Walmart and exited Walmart, and their job was amazing to me. Their job was simply to say to you, have a nice day, as you left the store. And sure enough, I felt that I sort of developed this kinship between myself and these two elderly people. They would always say to me, have a nice day, and I appreciated that. And I felt that we developed this kind of friendship by now, having gone into Walmart so many times. Surely they recognized who I was. So one time I was actually going out, I had a bushel of grapes, and by mistake, as I was exiting the store, and they said to me, have a nice day, the grapes fell on the floor, and the grapes fell all over the place. They were scattered, and obviously I was disturbed. I was trying to pick up the grapes and to salvage whatever was left, and people were coming in and coming out and trampling them with their carts, their shopping carts, and it was obviously very trying. And I was frustrated, and here were these two people who had said to me a moment ago, have a nice day. And at this point, they must have realized that I really wasn't having a very nice day. So I was waiting for them. If they're my friends, and they always wish me have a nice day, and they see that I'm tormented, so why don't they bend down and help me pick up the grapes? But that they didn't do. And then I realized, you come to Eretz Yisrael to a supermarket, and no one will ever say to you, have a nice day. But I can guarantee you that if you drop grapes on the floor, 10 Israelis will fall down on the floor, pick up the grapes, and they'll give you a lesson on how you can carry the grapes better next time. Or they'll give you a lesson on how to pick the grapes. Or maybe these grapes aren't so good. Maybe get more ripe ones. Come with me, I'll show you how to pick. And so on and so forth. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. When it comes to a Jew, the understanding of sympathy, of empathy with one another is far different in how we see the person rather than the deed than with regards to the foreign nations. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda at the beginning of this week's parsha does not mention whatsoever the crime of the stealing of the goblet, because Yehuda is no longer concerned with that. Yehuda comes to Yosef and he says to him, listen, my dear friend, it is no longer a judicial issue. It is now an issue between us as Yidden, as Jews, and between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kevyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu above. And he says to Yosef, I am going to give you a crash course on Jewish philosophy. There's no mention of the gold, there's no mention of the theft, because ultimately, says Yehuda, that is not the issue. The issue here is that our father will die and we will not allow him to suffer anymore. The issue here, says Yehuda, is that we will not leave our brother alone. Yes, we understand that he should be placed in prison if you want to punish the deed, and that's fine. But we will not punish the person. We will stay with him in jail. We will escort him. We will not show up to our father and endanger his life empty-handed. The Gemara in Sanhedrin instructs the Bet Din, even when they have to punish someone, Rachmana Litzlan, by death, Beror lo mita yafa, choose for him a pleasant death. What is this to mean? The Gemara appeals to the judges, even you, who have life and death in your hands, particularly, you must be so careful with the way you see the person. Make sure to punish the deed and not the person himself. And therefore, at this point, after Yehuda demonstrates what a Jew is all about to Yosef, thinking that perhaps Yosef as an Egyptian viceroy would in no way understand what he is telling him, Yosef can no longer withhold. Yosef wants his brothers to understand that he knows very well what it means to be a Jew and what it means to subscribe to Judaism. Velo yachol Yosef lehitapek lechol anitzavim alav. I can no longer hold myself back. And what does he do? He says, Hotziu kol ish me'alai. Let all of the Egyptians go out. Velo amad ish ito. No man, no Egyptian man was present when Yosef was revealing this reaction to his brothers. Why? Because the Egyptians would never understand. Lo amad ish ito. What is an ish? An ish is a human being. An ish is a decent person. An ish is someone who sympathizes and is compassionate with his fellow brethren. That, says Yosef, the Egyptians do not understand. Not the way that the Jewish people do. And therefore he tells them to leave. The only people who are left are the true Anashim, Anshei Bnei Yisrael, Yosef and his brothers. And the first reaction that Yosef has is he cries. Why does the Torah tell us that he cries? Yosef tells his brother, my dear brothers, I am compassionate. I understand what it means to have sensitivity towards my fellow man. We are on the same page. I too am Jewish. I am Yosef, says Yosef to his brothers. Ha'od avi chai. The first thing that he asks is the question of sensitivity. It is a question of emotional connection. Is my father still alive? I am concerned with the person. You are concerned with the person. I am concerned with the person. Let us embrace and once again be one and unite. My concern is the same as yours. This is the greatness of the Jewish people and what was revealed in this week's parsha. Yosef says to his brothers, I understand fully well that when it comes to our fellow Jews, Eretz Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, it is all about sympathizing, relating, and connecting, and ultimately uniting between one another. Because Chalila Lanu, God forbid and woe is to us if we look to punish the person as opposed to punishing the deed and improving the person himself. Mirtz Hashem, if we have this attitude and we allow it to guide us further, both in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, and of course, just as importantly, in our relationship between one another, we'll be zoche lirot b'geulat Yisrael, and to see the redemption of all the Jewish people as we unite as one, Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, b'mhera b'yameinu, Amen. The question we can discuss around the Shabbat table, this Shabbat Vayigash, what did Paro ask Yaakov when they met, and why? What was Yaakov's answer, and what can we